We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, sitting out here at the porch at the Kerr Wildlife Management Area. We're here with Ryan Wrights, who's the project leader over the Kerr and Mason Mountain Wildlife Management Areas, and also two Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation members. We've got Graylee Wilson with us and Danny Cellier. Thanks for being with us. I guess, Ryan, I'm going to start with you, and why don't you explain what we've been up to today?
Absolutely. Pleasure doing that. Today, what we've been really discussing and getting into is how we collect research information on our white-tailed deer herd here at the Kerr area, and the processes that are involved and what all these team members are doing throughout the day and the event and in the culmination of this annual deer working and how it all fits together and what it all means.
And I know a lot of folks out there may not know that the deer research here at the Kerr has been going on, well, gosh, since 1974.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're certainly blessed to have such a rich history of this deer herd, and it has provided countless different products and research examples, emulating or giving us those examples of how to manage wild deer herds in Texas. It's been absolutely a pleasure.
Yeah, and today this was the first Texas Parks and Wildlife member field trip, Texas Parks and Wildlife field trip, that we really wanted to give our members a kind of a backstage, you know, peek at what the conservation work that the department does. And
absolutely.
I guess, Graylee, I'll start with you. What'd you think of the day?
I thought it was absolutely fascinating. Not only the number of deer that they are researching and have on the premises, but also the amount of data that they've been able to store, and the information that can help us as landowners also to take home with us and to have this resource available.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about your ranch and your role as a landowner in just a second. Danny, why are you here today?
Well, when I heard about the field trip, I was very, very excited. I was like, seriously, we could do this. So just getting to do the hands-on stuff, it's right up my alley. And a part of that is because I'm kind of a newcomer to the whole conservation scene and learning about this sort of stuff. I've always been a Texan, but that aspect I didn't investigate until my daughter got me into doing some activities. And so I started learning with her, and just step by step have gotten into different wildlife explorations and stuff. And my goal is to help her see what it looks like and feels like, not just know that, okay, a biologist works with animals or something like that, but to see what they do and get her excited about it and see the actual iterations of what happens day to day. And so this was a super, super cool treat to be able to go back and share that with her and that sort of stuff. So it was very exciting.
It's quite an operation. And Ryan, I'm going to have you kind of describe it, kind of paint a word picture for, you know, a word picture for us of what they got to see and experience today.
So in short, really, we house several hundred deer for very specific reasons and collecting very specific information. And the experience today was this annual event in a deer's world. Everything comes together at the end of September and October in concert with hunters and landowners all around. The antlers are hardened and it's time to go out and see this year's, you know, product, and let's go hunt and pursue. Similarly, that's happening in the research facility in the deer's world. Antlers are hardened. We're at a culmination of fawns have been produced, and it's time for us as researchers to harvest that information. And that is what's going on. It's an annual event for us, and so this research herd world is in this facility. It's not anywhere. It doesn't get experienced anywhere else. So they're coming out of that specific area or pen into a set of alleys, into a system that's built and designed for their health and safety, the deer's, as well as our staff's. And those series of events and moves all are very strategic and on purpose and culminate in that collection or harvest, whether that be body weights or metrics of body size or collecting those antlers for scoring later, all relative to those studies. It all was happening today, and we got to see bits and pieces of that all morning.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure what we were going to get to experience, and we talked about kind of almost in air quotes backstage, but
you bet.
You let us backstage.
You let us backstage,
and Grayley, do you want to describe some of that experience of seeing that
so up close? Being able to take pictures and see these deer up close, and to see these men working so hard
and
to
women.
Keep the yes, and two main women out there, that they were all trying to keep the deer safe and themselves. And just the measurements they were taking, the amount of paperwork, the computer data system, it was overwhelming, and plus it was set up just flawlessly. It just worked, you know, without a hitch, and everyone working together.
I think that's a key issue, or something that I noticed, is the teamwork. Everyone had a very specific job, and they knew their job, and it was, my job is to call this number, and my job is to lift this post. And so it kept everybody safe, and it also just made it like an assembly line, and that doesn't come easily. You've got to really work those kinks out and figure out. And when there was a hiccup, you know, somebody missed a number or whatever, it was like, okay, let's go back to whose job was it to get that number. So it was really efficient and interesting to see. And then also talking about like the sensory, it was very experiential, because like when we were looking at those panels and you saw some of the bucks come in and you didn't get to see them, but you could hear the snorts and yes. You could hear the kicking, and it, you realize the power in these four or five
majestic animals.
Yes, absolutely. And these four or five grown men are struggling to just keep it, and it doesn't have its feet on the ground, am I right? When they're and but they're still struggling. So it's just, the power is so amazing, and you really get to kind of grasp how much power and muscle and pointy ends there are. It was impressive.
Yeah. You know, before we got started today, I was talking to you, Danny, and your friend Kelly, mm-hmm. and you both have daughters
yes.
that are interested in wildlife biology.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you were kind of new to this. Did you really have any idea of the kind of profession this could be?
None. So I dabbled in so many different things. I never knew what I wanted to be, and so I just kind of did all this sort of stuff, and I had no idea until I learned that I wanted to help other people find their thing, and then it turned out that teaching was my calling. Just helping people realize what they can do and helping empower them to find those paths. And I didn't realize how powerful that could be for me. And so once I clicked onto that, it didn't matter what the topic was. It could be English literature, it could be, we've done shooting sports with my daughter and we've done wildlife. It's just helping them find how to get to it. And so I had no idea. And I always laugh about how every time I think, okay, I've tapped into Texas Parks and Wildlife and Texas Wildlife Association, all these different things, I think I've tapped into all the resources. And then somebody will be like, the NRC. And they'll have like, you know, the Soil and Water Conservation District or Texas Brigades will come
There's
up.
There's a and I'm lot like, of information out
it's
there.
It's a whole nother opportunity. So it's just been overwhelming in a positive and amazing way. And I'm so excited for our kids that there are so many opportunities and cool experiences, you know, that they can do and just really get into and learn more about.
I knew that our members were going to be enthusiastic.
You bet.
But this is like
this is great.
Enthusiasm here.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. Now, Grayley, as a landowner, and I know you've had some connection with Parks and Wildlife for a while. I mean, can you tell me about
yes.
your experience?
Well, mainly we started out about 25 years ago being with the Texas Parks and Wildlife Land Management arm, and they've helped us, and we've had biologists come to our ranch, and we've tried to hit harvest numbers every year. And some years it was easier to do than others, but primarily, you know, we go by their recommendations. We use a combination of hunting and also prescribed burning on our property, and we raise cattle in addition. But it's been a sport in our family. I mean, deer hunting has been a part of our life for, you know, many, many generations. And my children have learned to shoot since they were like 6 years old. And I have a grandson now that's six, and he just shot his first deer. So we're trying to improve our genetics. We're under low fence. We don't have a controlled population in that regard, but still, this is a fascinating day to day with this field trip because I've learned a lot. No matter how long you've been doing this, there's always the scientific side that is just so, it just blows your mind how much science there is out there and how many more traits and genetic attributes in the deer that are important.
Did you have any idea that a project like this was even here before this?
No, I didn't. I knew about this ranch. I was very impressed that there was any place at 6,500 acres in Kerr County. And that
Absolutely.
Was,
yeah.
You know, owned and managed by TPW. And I'm just think this is a fabulous facility, and it's well cared for.
And that's a good segue, because we didn't really set up for our listeners. Just give us a little, you know, what is the Kerr Wildlife Management Area?
Sure. So the Kerr WMA is a part of a system of properties that are owned and operated by the Wildlife Division. And in doing so, they're all based by ecoregions, so different plants and rainfall patterns. Have different associations of wildlife critters throughout our state. It's very diverse. And our wildlife management area system is just as diverse. So we're here in the Edwards Plateau. The Kerr and Mason Mountain are the two key and focal areas that we have the pleasure to be leaders in research and leaders in demonstration. What we learn, same as today, we're here. Our role is to disseminate that information in a technical guidance pattern to biologists that are in other counties, as well as landowner field days, experiences such as today, to reach as many people as we can, because ultimately it's about land health, it's about natural resources. White-tailed deer are part of that, and they're part of our heart and soul here. In terms of research, they've taught us a lot. We've learned a lot from them, if you can look at it in that perspective. So that's what our WMAs are about, that setting the foundation of tools and techniques to allow recommendations, you know, to our private landowners, our stakeholders. Those are our constituents. Those are we are in this hand in hand.
Yeah. And of course, here at Kerr, white-tailed deer, like you said,
Absolutely.
It's the heart and soul, but the Wildlife Division of the Parks and Wildlife Department does research into all sorts of species, and I was just reading about a horned lizard project.
Absolutely.
In partnership with the Fort Worth Zoo, and isn't that playing out at Mason Mountain?
Involved at that at a different scale, no pun intended. We are certainly involved in looking at restoration efforts of the Texas horned lizard. At Mason Mountain, in partnerships, we talk about collaborations, the Fort Worth Zoo, Dallas Zoo, and many others have been very instrumental in providing, in this case, hatchlings for release to initiate some restoration techniques and help us uncover what exactly we can do for that species in Texas where it is declining.
They're amazing. The little hatchlings are like
little
tiny. And actually, Parks and Wildlife Foundation has produced a video about that that's up on our website
Absolutely.
Somewhere that folks can look for and take a look at that. And, you know, we were talking about the public land here. How can people visit this? How can
Sure.
people?
So the Kerr Wildlife Area, we are open to the public 7 days a week. We have a driving tour and a paved road that we have set up for those reasons, that we want to reach as many people as we can. And we have that driving tour set up where stakeholders can see land management activities, stop at certain kiosks along the way, and kind of build that picture along the route. We also are open in terms of seminars, technical guidance visits, certainly by request in many cases, but our doors are open for that dissemination of information at all times. So accessing at varying levels, from a phone call to interacting on our social media web page, Facebook, Kerr and Mason Mountain Wildlife Management Areas, there's a post on there every business day.
But don't try to use your
every
cell phone out here.
Day.
it's a beautiful thing out here. Okay. And I'll tell you another thing. I hadn't been here in a while, probably over 10 years that I had visited, and I just forgot how quiet it is. I mean, it's just gorgeous out here. You don't hear traffic noise. You don't hear airplanes. There's very few places
cell
now,
phones,
I think, in urban areas that you can get just quiet. And this is relatively close to San Antonio, to Austin. Sure. So
The Kerr area is known for a lot of things. We are not known for our cell service. That's just the way it is.
That's a selling card as far as I'm concerned.
Right. But you guys were very accommodating. We came for our 4-H state contest, and it was a wonderful facility.
Absolutely.
Because as parents, it's a hurry up and wait situation. The kids come and compete for 2 or 3 days. And so we hung out on this amazing vista and got to watch the painted buntings and all the really cool peewees and everything like that. And it was really, really awesome. And then we did the driving tour and got to see, and what I was telling you earlier, how I hadn't conceptualized what Ash Juniper looked like and exactly how it just worked.
Seeing that in living demonstration, and that's something
it's
so
powerful.
Key and important. You can read it, you can see a picture of it, but coming out and seeing that living demonstration in a seminar and a tour, those are incredibly important tools we have to do.
And the field that was burned, what did we say, 3 months before, and it had grass and wildflowers, and it was gorgeous, and butterflies everywhere. Luckily I had some of my kids with me, and they were able to see and feel that and kind of get it. So it makes the application level so much easier, which is really cool.
And it also, just the importance of public land and of having places to visit is so important. But, I think job number one for the department is really partnering with private landowners.
Absolutely.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
And that link for us is our technical guidance program. There are men and women in every county in the state that are associated by districts. But their jobs and roles are to meet and greet and engage in wildlife management activities and plans. That comes in varying degrees, from deer management plans to threatened or endangered species plans. They're carrying that mission to the stakeholder, to the landowner, and it's a handshake, hat in hand approach, by us. It's important to us, but these management areas are that baseline, that focus. They're outdoor experiment stations for all of us, and the end goal and result is that engagement at a private land state, in a private land state with that stakeholder, for these resources that we all hold so dear to our hearts.
And of course, we're sitting here with a landowner who's had direct experience. What has that experience been like over the last 25 years?
It's been wonderful. It's been challenging and humbling. But inheriting land is one of the greatest gifts that your family can ever do for you. It's the pride and the being able to share it with others and to teach your children values in the country. And growing up in a small town, we're from San Saba County. And so it's been, my children were both raised there in San Saba and went to school there and then went on to college. And they're very involved with Stewards of the Wild. And they love it. And they try to get other friends interested in it. And even kids, especially, I don't mean kids, even young adults, younger than us, that don't have that opportunity to get to the country, that don't know about wildlife, that they've just heard about these things in a book, but to be out on an actual working ranch and see the wildlife and be a participant and a silent observer of God's beauty, it's just a wonderful, it's a blessing. And but it's something that you also want to share.
Sure.
And you do share it. We were talking, you mentioned Stewards of the Wild, and Stewards of the Wild, of course, is the Parks and Wildlife Foundation Young Professionals Organization with chapters all over the state, one of which is in Fort Worth, and that's your daughter's a member, or Dallas?
Yes, Hendrika Deal, my oldest daughter, is a member in Dallas.
Okay.
And Leah Della Bransom, my other daughter, is in Fort Worth.
Okay.
And they both have been bringing a group of girls down to hunt for the very first time. A lot of these girls have never shot a deer.
And was it, that just and happened, right?
That just happened this last weekend. Mm-hmm. And all 11 girls went home with a deer. And they were taken to a gun range, decided in their guns. They were shown how to properly use the firearm. And they were with a guide in the blind. And they were able to wait for a deer, for the right deer to come mm-hmm. by. And that takes selection and it takes patience. And everyone went home exhausted, but very happy.
Now, what
with
was
a cooler of meat.
What was that like for you to share that?
It was fabulous because I did it when I was younger. And I forget that I'm aging now and that I can't just go out there and field dress a deer anymore in 5 minutes like they can. But I have a grin on my face.
Tips, right?
I have a grin on my face when my daughters can clean a deer faster than a man. So, and it's not about how fast it
right,
is.
Right.
It's just they,
competence.
They've been raised with hunting and you eat what you kill. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Well,
it
thank
really
you
is,
for
really is cool. So both of you all are members of the Parks and Wildlife Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Why have you gotten involved with the foundation? I'll start with you, Dani.
It's an opportunity to support something that I've learned is really important. Just the various programs and facilities and everything that the foundation is supporting and working towards, it represents what I feel like is important as well. And it's also a resource for learning. And, you know, I was talking about resources and I'm hungry for more information and knowledge. As you guys have learned, I have questions a lot. And so it's another place for me to get answers to questions and also spurs new ideas. Like one of the things that you were saying, and I'm kind of at the other end of the spectrum because I have a lot of these kids that they don't have that heritage or that legacy. And so it's a disconnect. And it worries a lot of us in conservation that we have such a decline in the number of hunters and that support for wildlife and research is dwindling. How do we get kids to make that connection again and to get it when they don't have that heritage? And it's really tricky. Like I can get them to a certain point, but then they're like, well, why do I need to buy a hunting license or whatever? You know, I don't really want to do hunting. I don't get it. And so getting them to understand, you know, that the excise taxes and all that sort of stuff, that it goes to what we are valuing and all that sort of stuff.
Public trust doctrine.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really funny that you were talking about small town. And I mean, I live in a relatively small town and people think, oh, well, you're a country kid, you know all this stuff. And I have a lot of even my rural kids, and we go outside and they're like, oh my gosh, a snake. And I'm like, seriously, you live in the country? But there's just less and less of a connection. Even if we are rural, a lot of our kids just are hesitant to go outside. As a parent, I get it. Sometimes it's hard to let your kid just go. But that disconnect is, I'm trying to help them reconnect and get those values, because ultimately, however they connect, you have to love it to want to protect it. Mm-hmm. And whether it's kayaking or hunting or hiking or whatever, there has to be some connection. And that's the thing that I've kind of gotten to over the past couple of years, is everybody has to find some way to connect. And once they do that, then they'll love it. And then we can all be on the same page and work to protect it.
Sure. Do you feel more connected after today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Seeing that it was a little piece of paper on a clipboard, mm-hmm. but it was the plan.
Sure.
And getting to see, mm-hmm. I know somebody agonized over what they were going to do on that plan. And it was, I'm terrible with names. Was it Deanna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
her plan,
yeah.
she was the ringleader,
absolutely.
And
yeah.
so and so I noticed a couple of times she said something. There was no argument.
No.
There was it was what she said. She was the boss. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then to see that go into actual physical action, that was awesome. And to know that there's a connection between me being a part of the foundation or me being a part of Texas Parks and Wildlife and having sure. a hunting license. And somewhere, one of my pennies went somewhere in that direction. How can that be a bad thing? That's really cool, you know, that we're kind of, in a way, we're working together, and it all is connected. So that's just a really cool thought to see it, you know, people marching around and doing all that sort of stuff, and it's because we're supporting it, and it's important to us.
How about you, Carly? How are you feeling after today?
Well, I'm too old to be in some of the other associations, so I'm going to be in the foundation, and we will not be tamed. I can't be in the Stewards of the Wild. There's kind of an age cutoff. So I'm like one of the elders here that still enjoys doing this, but... No, a definite learning curve for me. I've never seen deer up close like this. I've never been to this property before and seen, and Ryan's done a fabulous job of hosting this and sharing information with us and answering whatever questions we had. And I'm sure some of the questions seem so minor, but to us it was really important. And I'm real interested in the genetic components and the nutritional components and how we can better sustain our grasslands and how we can treat brush from encroaching on the land that we do have and preserving the vegetation that is the deer's habitat. That's real important because they are browsers and we need to be respectful of what food they in particular eat.
So Ryan, how does it, it's almost cliche, just make you feel to be around people like this who so clearly support what you do?
Oh, it's great. It's inspirational, you know. It completes a circle. It's all good. It's great. You know, sometimes, you know, there's challenges in everyone's careers and lives and all those things. But to have a full circle completion of where this a specific project or this deer research endeavor of the Kerr WMA and be able to discuss that in full circle throughout a day in an event. It takes, as I think I said to everybody this morning, you know, we're talking about land health here and pieces of research projects that are endeavor together for land health and diversity, you know, deer and other all species of wildlife, and it takes participation, it takes activity. That ultimately is conservation. It's active. It's an active approach out here. So to have the activity full circle, well, sure, makes you feel good. Absolutely. It's wonderful. But it is a pleasure to share, you know, where we come from. Again, we do it all the time, love to do it, but it's a pleasure to have feedback. And feedback is questions. And have good questions and have that interaction, it takes us and gives us the ability to take it up, you know, even to other levels and talk about theory and hypotheses and all those good things, but have that application and this information to go so many places in the state and reach so many people, from youth to hunters, is great. That's our job. That's our role.
And to help the younger generation. Yeah. Want to do this.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us trying to get the younger generation involved and get them to want to preserve our land and, you know, enjoy God's beauty, enjoy the outdoors, get outside, and respect nature.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ryan, for letting
You're welcome,
us
Lydia.
Come
Absolutely.
And be with you today.
Thank you, ladies.
And thank
Absolutely.
You all for coming so far to be with us.
You bet.
Thanks a lot.
It's a pleasure.
Loved it.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.